Thank you for tuning into the Harvest Christian Fellowship Amarillo Campus podcast. This week, Pastor Gabe Mowdy talks about having persistence and what God equips us in to live life to the fullest. For more information, please visit harvestchristianfellowship.org or visit the App Store. Thanks and have a wonderful day.
Good morning. Can I just say it's a little bit awkward to follow yourself onto the stage? But I don't want to let that distract us this morning. I really want to pray for these guys in Horton. It's, man, weren't those video images touching? And you guys have watched the news and all that. But to have personal faces of people that we know and love affected by this, we are excited to be able to help. And I want to pray for them this morning before we jump into the Word. God, we thank you that your church is alive and active in South Texas, and that these friends of ours are busy in their communities being the hands and feet of Christ in a time of tragedy and destruction. And God, they are called to help rebuild their city, and they're playing a vital role in that. And because of that, God, your name is being honored and glorified in that place. And so, God, we want to come alongside them and help be a part of the ministry that's going on down there, the rebuilding that goes on. And God, we see that that is a picture of how you work in our lives. God, you take the devastation and the destruction that have happened in our lives, and you've rebuilt us through Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And so we want to be a part of that life-giving manifestation and witness in South Texas. And we thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm excited to be with you guys again this morning. As Eloise mentioned, Pastor Curtis is down in Mexico, and I've been seeing videos of the things, the ministry that is going on down there, the conference that they're a part of, and I've had a chance to go to Monterey myself and be a part of that, and it's just amazing what God can do through you, even when you don't speak Spanish. In Ephesians 4, over the last few weeks, talking about the different gifts that God gives us and to equip the church for works of ministry. And so it's exciting to be a part of that, seeing that happening locally, but also internationally in the ministry that Harvest has around the world, and taking the gospel and developing Christians and church leaders at La Iglesia del Señor there in Monterrey. And man, it's so as a result, I get to be a part of bringing ministry here today. And so I want to say thank you. It's a pleasure to be a part of the messaging team here at Harvest and to be with you guys this morning. So as you know, we talked about these several different gifts in Ephesians 4. And one of those gifts that God gives the church for developing us is the prophetic gift. And so we talked about in week number one and week number two a little bit, how that prophetic gift paints a picture of what the kingdom of God ought to look like in our lives, and how that prophetic gift speaks into people and encourages them into developing a life that brings the kingdom to bear right here in the place that we live today, right now. And so I want to take us back on a journey into the Old Testament. We've been talking about New Testament church and developing that in the modern day, but God had the prophetic gift at work among his people even back in the Old Testament days. And so we're going to look at the life of Jeremiah, one of those prophets, one of those crazy, wild-haired kind of guys from the Old Testament that did a lot of things to bring the kingdom of God to bear on God's people there and brought the message that God wanted to deliver. And so we're going to jump back in Jeremiah chapter 1, start at the very beginning of his story there. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning or your app, open it up. It'll be on the screen as well. If you didn't bring those, no worries. We'll follow along there. I'm going to be reading from the Message version, mostly because that's the one I understand the best. It uses modern language, and it's easy to grab a hold of. And so I want to read from there this morning. Before I shaped you in the womb, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, by the way. Before I shaped you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Plans that you would be a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you, for your life. Wow, what a calling. What a calling that God had on the life of Jeremiah. So as we look into the story of Jeremiah, you see, we don't know very much about his background, his history. We know his dad's name, and we know the little podunk town that he came from. We don't know much about it. But we do know this, And I think this is the most important part of the story of Jeremiah, that God called him to a life of greatness, to a life of effectiveness in his world. So I have a question for you this morning. Because you see, we look at Scripture and the stories and the proclamations that God made then, and we bring those into modern life. Do you believe in the same way that God called Jeremiah that you have been called to a life of greatness, to a life of effectiveness, to a life of destiny? Do you believe that your life matters right here, right now, in today's world? Because you see, Jeremiah's calling shaped and defined him more than any of the history of where he came from or who he was. I believe that God had a plan for him, and he has a plan for our lives, that we can put ourselves into this same story, that God will equip us to carry out a mission, a calling, a destiny that he has for us that has nothing to do with our vocation, our occupation, our past, our ethnicity, our socioeconomic status. None of those things shape us and define what our lives ought to look like more than what God has called us to be. We're chosen by God. There's this religious word out there that we don't use very much, but I think it's really important to help us understand this. The word consecrated. You don't use that in your normal everyday language, do you? I mean, you consecrated me to do this or that. No, we don't use that word, but it's a really vital, important word. Consecrated means that we're set apart to be on God's side, that he has called us out and made us into, called us to be someone special, someone unique, someone that has an impact. We're chosen out of this world that we live in for something important that God is doing in the world. You see, I believe that being chosen, being picked from the crowd, it makes a difference. When I was in junior high and in elementary school, you remember going to the playground during recess or during PE? You see, most people said PE was their favorite class. It wasn't my favorite class. It's hard to believe, but I was skinny back then and had skinny little legs, and I wasn't the most athletic guy. And so we would line up out there on the playground, and the two athletic guys, you know, would get chosen as team captains, right? And what was their job? They got to pick who was on their team, right? And so you'd start going down the line, I want him, and I want him, and I want him. And I'm standing here in the middle going, wow, my name's not getting called. And, you know, gradually, one by one, all the other people disappear. And you realize, wow, they're having an argument about me being a liability. Like, they're trying to fight against who not to be on their team, right? And it's not a great feeling, you know? It's not a great place to be. Similar to that battle that was about to take place on the playground, that dodgeball war that was about to happen, but with much greater consequences in life, there's a spiritual war that's in progress in our world. You see, God is in a continuous and an energetic battle against all the evil and cruelty in our world, unhappiness and illness, ignorance, brutality, pain. God is for life and against death. He is for love and against hate. God is for hope and against despair. God is for heaven coming to earth and against hell on earth. You see, there is no neutral ground in our universe. Every square foot of space is contested for the kingdom of God. Jeremiah, before he was born, was enlisted on God's side in this war. You see, God said it. I have holy plans for you, Jeremiah. He wasn't given time to grow up and look around and decide what side that he wanted to be on. He was chosen before he had an opportunity to take up, to step into life and to make a decision. Jeremiah was chosen, and you see, we're chosen as well. This has kind of been a revolutionary thought to me, because I like to believe, you know, that we have the free choice to choose to decide to follow God, and we do have that. But what I've seen in the story of Jeremiah is that we either take up the life which we have been consecrated for, that we have been chosen to live in, the calling that God has put on our life, or we choose to be like a traitor and defect from the team that God has chosen us to be on, the side that He has chosen us to be a part of. You see, you're on God's side. You've been chosen to be a part of His team, His family. You haven't been left in the lurch out here in the middle going, I wonder if God's going to pick me. You were chosen before you were born to be a part of God's best, His plan for this world. And so it's actually quite comforting to me to realize that God doesn't wait around to see how our lives turn out before He decides to choose us. He didn't wait to see how Jeremiah grew up and to see if he was worthy of being called to carry the message into the nations. He didn't wait on you to grow up and look at your life choices and see the ways you either messed up or you did good before He picked you to be a part of what He's doing in this world. No, He chose you before you were even born, as He was knitting you together in your mother's womb, it says in Scripture. He chose you to be a part of what He's doing in this world. He consecrated us. And so you would think that being picked for the team or chosen even before we were born would mean that life would be all easy peasy, right? That if we know we're on the winning team and we know our enemy's been defeated, that life would just be roses and cherries and all of that kind of stuff, right? I mean, we look at Scripture and we continue to read Jeremiah's story and we see that this wasn't actually the case for Jeremiah. As you well know, is not really the case for us. Life comes against us, and there are things in our lives that challenge us, that come to set a blockade in front of us from accomplishing the things that God has for us. So let's jump down to Jeremiah chapter 12. Read about this a little bit, because you see, as Jeremiah walked into his calling and started down the road here, he got a little bit frustrated with God. And it's easy for us, I think, to find ourselves in the same place. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Lord, Jeremiah said, you always give me justice. So we sang about that this morning, right? That God is faithful, that He is always faithful. He says, you always give me justice when I bring a case against you or before you. And so, he says, let me bring you this complaint. Have you ever complained to God? I have. God, I got a beef with you. I need to take something up there. Let me bring you this complaint. Why, God, are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy? It seems like, Jeremiah is saying, you have planted them, and they have taken root, and they have prospered. In fact, I even hear your name coming out of their lips, but you are far from their hearts. But as for me, Lord, now look at me, you know my heart, you see me, and you test my thoughts. Jeremiah is saying, I'm on the right side here. I've got it all together. I know what's right here, and I'm doing a good job at this, God. But something's wrong when all these other people are prospering. And so I love this. He has such a loving heart, you know, and prophets are known for that. Drag these people away like sheep to be butchered. Set them aside to be slaughtered. Jeremiah, a guy called to the nations to restore God's goodness to the people, is pretty frustrated here with how life is going. And have you ever found yourself in that place? I know I have. You see, Jeremiah asked a legitimate question that all of us ask, I think, at one time or another. Why, in our lives of doing good and following the rules or trying to follow God's ways and His principles, why does it seem like that the bad guys are winning? If I've been called, if I've been consecrated, called out of this world for the work of kingdom building, then why does it feel like I'm losing? You know, David struggled with it. If you look through the Psalms and read through the laments in there, there are lots of times that he accuses God of seemingly not doing his part to bring about victory or bring about his ways. Early believers in the church struggled with it too. They left in droves when Jesus told them what being a disciple really looked like. I've struggled with it myself. Jill and I were, we lived in Africa for 5 years. And during that time, I had a guy I was really close to that we did ministry together, and we went to all these different places and were great friends. And after I left, I found out that this whole time I'd known him, he led a double life. He had an extra wife that I didn't know about, a whole other family. He embezzled money from the church. I felt totally duped. It's like, God, I made a sacrifice here, and it didn't turn out the way that I thought it should. When I ran a company for a while, I tried to do business fairly, and I tried to follow God's principles as I led that company. And it just seemed like sometimes that the competition was always one step ahead of me. You ever feel like that? And so, if we keep reading there in chapter 12, God gives Jeremiah and us a nice, clean explanation of his motives, right? Have you read on in the chapter there? He didn't really do that, by the way. He doesn't often do that when we're whining and complaining. We think he ought to explain things in a nice, friendly way. But instead of answering Jeremiah's question there, he calls him out on his whiny attitude. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Let's read it together. This is God's response to Jeremiah's complaint. Jeremiah, if racing against mere men makes you tired, if all of these things that you're complaining about right here, the easy stuff, if this makes you tired, how will you race against horses? And if you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? God's saying, life is difficult, Jeremiah. Are you going to quit at the first wave of opposition when you find out that people are really more interested in finding three meals a day and a warm place to sleep at night than they are in following my ways? Are you going to give up? Are you just going to quit and back down? Are you going to run home the minute you find that people really have a lot of issues here and they don't want to follow my ways? Or would you prefer to have the strength and the stamina to run like a horse, to have power and strength and beauty to accomplish something valuable in life? God doesn't let Jeremiah wallow in his whining. He doesn't let him off the hook. He doesn't even answer his question. But what he does do for Jeremiah, he does for us today. He reminds him of his consecrated calling. Jeremiah, think back. I created you before you were even created. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. I called you to something great. So you can either stand here and shuffle around, or you can step into this higher level of living that I've called you to, a life full of excellence and greatness, a destiny to accomplish great victories on my behalf. And so he asks Jeremiah and he asks us today, will you settle for shuffling along with the crowd? Are you going to run with the horses? Are you going to step into what I've called you to do? I have plans for you, Jeremiah. I have plans for you, Harvest Christian Fellowship. Prophet to the nations. We're down there in the nations right now. We're in the nations right here in Amarillo, Texas, and the surrounding community. God has called us to declare the kingdom of God has come here and now in our world. He's called us. He's chosen us before we were ever born to be a part of His team. He's made plans for each and every one of us to be a part of this. Acts 17:26 says it this way, "For one man he created, from one man he created all nations throughout the whole earth, and he decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." You see, God's great love for us compels us to respond, to answer the call, to decide whether we're going to play on the team that we've been picked for, or are we going to defect to the other team and totally miss out on what God has planned for us. When it's been rough, when our expectations haven't been met, when we come up against this wall, when we've tried and we've failed, and it feels like the world is all against us, when it looks impossible, our human nature tells us, give up, quit, it's not worth it. Just let it go, to walk away. So one of my all-time favorite movies, and I realize that this is going to date me quite a bit, is called Man from Snowy River. And I didn't realize how old it was until I was looking at the credits and finding this clip that I want to share with you guys. But the story is there's this Australian cowboy, and he has trying to make a way for himself in life, and he's found this woman that he's fallen in love with, and he went to work for her dad. And in the course of his job there, he lost the guy's prize horse. This expensive horse has run off to run with the wild horses. And so Jim realizes his destiny in this woman's heart and being in good relationship with her father is in jeopardy. His destiny is up against a problem. And so they've sent out a search mob, basically a bunch of guys to go out and find this horse that's run off and rescue the horse and bring it back. And so I want to set up the clip there and let you guys watch this clip together. What happens as Jim faces an obstacle in his path?
Bid the mob good day.
Doesn't the bullwhip just give you chills? Sure. I love this story. I love how you see the guys that are chasing the horses. They come up to the edge of that cliff and go, that's too big of an obstacle for me. But Jim realizes his destiny is at stake, and he's not going to let anything be in his path. And over he goes. And, the rest is history. It's great music, great cinematography. He didn't let that minor obstacle stop him from where he was going. He met all kinds of obstacles up to this point, but he knew that his destiny was at stake, and he wasn't about to let that cliff or a wild stallion come between him and that destiny. You see, when we met with adversity in our lives, we're tempted to give up. I've been tempted to give up, to say, God, your ways are too hard. I'm going to go to the other team. It looks easier, and it looks a whole lot more fun. I remember in particular when I was struggling with giving up an addiction in my life that there were moments when I was within an inch of quitting, even though I knew I had a calling from God. Even though I knew I was buying into a bunch of lies, even though I knew that he had already won the war. Peter found himself in the same place in the New Testament. He no doubt struggled with his ultimate failure of betraying Jesus when push came to shove, when it mattered most. And after Jesus' resurrection, he visited the guys and he asked Peter a question. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Second time. And then he asked him a third time. And can't you just feel the sting in Peter's heart when he ties that back to his betrayal? And I'm sure Peter felt, well, here it comes. The axe is about to fall. I'm done. I'm off the team. But that's not what happened. That's not what he received in that moment. The good news is this. Peter didn't get cut from the team. Jeremiah didn't get cut from the team. And you aren't cut from the team either. Jesus offered a challenge to Peter. Feed my sheep. And he offers a challenge to Jeremiah. Run with the horses, Jeremiah. And he offers us that same chance today. Live the life that I've called you to. Run. Win. Succeed. Do something that matters with your life. And so what will we do with this question? How will we answer it? In those times we find ourselves whining, we hear it being asked, will you step it up? Will you keep going? And I know my answer. It wasn't always this, but today I can say without a shadow of a doubt is a resounding yes. Yes, God, I want to face the edge of that cliff and leap over it without any hesitation. I want to ride over the edge. I want to do all that you have called me to do, God. I want to experience all the victory that you have set before me. I want to make a difference in this life, for not just for me, but for the sake of other people that God has called me to. Are you with me, church? Can you join me in that this morning? So how do we do that? How do we, in the face of the obstacles that we run into in this life, how do we step into what God has called us to? You see, there's not a specific verse here where Jeremiah says, yes, I'll do that. But we see through the next few chapters, the story of his life shares with us some examples of how he did that. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3 says this, 23 years it's been. God's word has come to me. Here's Jeremiah talking again. For 23 years, I've listened to God's word. It's come to me early each morning to late every night, and I've passed it on to you people. He's preaching to the people here. And you haven't listened to a word of it. For 23 years, he's been trying to follow what God's called him to do, and they're not listening. And I learned a new word in this verse. It's from the Hebrew hashkim, and it's translated persistently. Persistently. This word has developed its meaning over time. You've heard the term shoulder a load, right? And so back in their day, donkeys were loaded with provisions for trips. And so the word morphed into a verb over time that meant load the shoulders of the beast for a day's journey. And it was important back then to get up early, right? To get a head start down the road because the donkeys didn't have air conditioning. And it was hot in the desert. And so they would get up before daylight and get on the word. On the road, and eventually this word came to describe the activity of people who got up early before the sun and they set out with heavy burdens on long journeys. Hashkim. This is the word that Jeremiah uses to describe the way that he has carried the message God gave him for the people. You see, Hashkim has a sunrise in it. Jeremiah is up early to do the work. He's not reluctant. He's not bored. He's not apathetic. There's an early morning lightness in his step, an anticipation of listening to God's word and then going out and speaking it. He was a Psalm 108 guy. Psalm 108, 1 through 2 says, my heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. Wake up, lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. You see, you guys are Psalm 108 people. You're here this morning. You woke up and came to a place where you can praise God and say with confidence, God, you are great. You are faithful. We sang about it this morning. Declared his goodness. And so for every morning for 23 years, Jeremiah rose early, met with and heard from God, and went and delivered the message. For 23 years, the people never listened. What a bummer, right? It would have been so easy for Jeremiah to quit. God, I'm retired. Done. They're not listening. Your plan's not working. I got better things to do with my time. But all throughout this story, Jeremiah uses this word hashkim persistently to describe his pursuit of God and his pursuit of God doing God's work. And the prophet, you see, we talked about that in our series in Ephesians. The prophet models life in the kingdom for us, declares what kingdom life ought to look like. And so Jeremiah models for us what a kingdom pursuit of God, a persistency in our pursuit of God looks like. You see, he didn't resolve just to stick it out for 23 years, just to get her done, to work hard, to push through. He got up with the sun every morning and he said, this day does not belong to the people or to their response. It belongs to God. He didn't get up to face rejection every morning. He got up to meet with God. And that, brothers and sisters, is the secret of this persevering pilgrimage that we find ourselves on, this ability to keep going in the face of obstacles that come against us. Not thinking with dread about the long road ahead or how hard it is to live the life God's called us to live, but greeting the present moment, every moment, with obedient delight and an expectant hope that God is going to meet us there, saying, our hearts are ready, God. And so there, in the meeting place with God, God renewed Jeremiah. He empowered Jeremiah. He energized him to keep going. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for His compassions for us never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, God. As we encounter the Lord, His compassion to us is great. His mercy is new every morning. His grace towards us, His empowering of us is new every time we encounter Him. It's a huge reason that we come together on Sunday mornings as a body of believers to declare God's goodness, to remind ourselves of His faithfulness, to encounter Him in worship and prayer and fellowship and the Word, to be encouraged and empowered and re-energized for the journey ahead of us this week. And so the secret to persistence is not our walking through and doing the daily disciplines of stuff. You see, I tend to go down that path. I've got this little book here and think, you know, I need to get back into journaling. And so I'm going to be a really good Christian this year and I'm going to start journaling again. And I'm going to really engage with the Lord consistently every morning. And so I started off really good this year. January the 1st, I've got a morning one and an evening. And January the 2nd, morning and evening. And January the 3rd, morning and evening. And January the 4th. And then somewhere the 5th is missing. But the 6th, I did one in the morning. And then it skips to February the 9th. And I did one on the 10th. There's a couple of things in there. And the 11th. And then it skips over here to the 20th. And then it skips to March the 4th. And then, it skipped to June the 24th. You kind of get the picture there. You see, persistence is not about a discipline of doing all the right stuff. Persistence and an empowering comes from encountering God on a regular basis, whatever form that takes. Pursuing God in the mornings. I like to get out and drive early in the morning and meet the Lord there. It helps me. It helps me stay engaged to be a part of meetings at church and things that are going on. The key is, if we don't hear God and respond, we by default move toward the flesh. We follow the crowd. We get sucked into a life of insignificance. It's challenging some days to wake up and engage God, and I'm certainly not perfect at it, but Jeremiah gives me an example here. I'm committed to being in a persistent daily pursuit of meeting with the Lord and then acting on what I hear Him speaking to me. And let me tell you, church, it's making a huge difference in my life. Huge difference, because it's not about me in my actions and what I do. It's about what the Lord does through me and in me in those encounters with Him. Hashkim, persistently meeting with God, persistently hearing His voice, persistently carrying out His request. It takes us from dragging ourselves through life to getting up and running with the horses. God wants to empower you and equip you to carry out the calling that He put on your life way back in the very beginning. As you were being knit together in your mother's womb, God put a calling on your life. And He's empowering you even today to carry that out. So when you find yourself in this place of whining, when it seems like God's ways are too difficult, when the obstacles of life are coming against you and would seem to pull you down, when they don't make sense, will you stay there in that place? Will you turn back and go into the easy life? Or will you move forward into the things that God has called you to? Church, let's move forward into the greatness that God has called us to. You see, we have a church full of incredible people who are called by God to do great things, to run with the horses, to be on mission in this world. You see, we have a vision as our church to reach 10% of our population. And as best I can count, I'm not really good at math, but we don't have 10% of Amarillo in this room today. But God has called us to something greater than just a life consumed on ourselves. God has called us into the nations. He has called us into our communities. He's called us into the schools and the businesses and the families, people that we're surrounded with. He's brought His best right here to Harvest Christian Fellowship. Would you join me this morning in seeing ourselves as strong, in seeing ourselves as being equipped to run with the calling that God has for us? Let's run with the horses today, church. You see, we have a group of people here who have dedicated themselves to praying for you, to coming alongside and supporting you and being an encouragement this morning, because we all find ourselves at different places in this journey we call life. Some of us are in the place of man, we're just running fast. And it takes a lot of energy and a lot of input to keep running at that pace. You may feel like you're at a breakneck speed, but you know what? God has His Holy Spirit to empower you. Maybe you need to come and agree with one of these people this morning to be supported in that race that you're running. Maybe you're at that place, you've run up against an obstacle and you're having a hard time trusting God. You think you misheard what He's asked you to do, where He's called you to be. These people can come and remind you of the calling that you have on your life, to be in agreement with you as they pray over you and bless you to go out and run, pick up the pieces and get back on the horse, so to speak, and keep going. Because you see, God has great things for all of us to do. He wants us to succeed in the calling that He's put on our lives. I want to pray for us this morning. God, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the incredible group of people that You called this morning, that are here listening to Your words. God, it amazes me that You use people like us, regular, normal, everyday people, to accomplish Your mission in this world. And God, I pray that each person today would be reminded of the incredible word that was spoken to them. And God, if there are people that were here this morning that haven't heard that word, they haven't had a connection with You, to believe this word that You spoke over them even before they were born, they don't understand their calling, God, I pray that You would speak to them, that they would come and pray with someone. God, that they would be awakened and enlivened to hear the greatness that You've called them to. And God, if there are people here this morning that have forgotten the word that You spoke to them so many years ago, I pray, God, that they would be reminded of that word, reminded of the specific, unique way that You call them to be a part of this church, to be a part of the community of Amarillo and the surrounding towns. Remind them, God, and call them back into this life of greatness. God, we thank You for calling us. We thank You for choosing us. We thank You for picking us to be a part of Your team. And so we go out of here this morning, God, encouraged to get back up, to run with the horses, to engage in and encounter all that You have for us. And we thank You because we know it's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's through Him we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come and receive that. Otherwise, be dismissed. And thank you for being here this morning.